something.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Wake up.
Yeah. Alice, 97.3.
All morning.
Yeah, you do. Alice, 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you for joining. This part of the show is brought to you by BART. Boop, boop. Real people. Real people with real stories. Choose BART. BART connects riders to work, school, family, and fun across the region. Give BART a try. Visit BART.gov/planner to plan your next trip. Let's go.
Let's go.
Boop, boop. You can call or text us anytime, 800-400-3697, and email us at sarahandvinny@odyssey.com. Tomorrow on the show, we are going to play our Bridge the Gap game, our generational trivia game. If you're like, oh man, this is a perfect question for the Zillennials, or this is a perfect question for Gen X, send it along to sarahandvinny@odyssey.com. Clive Davis passed. We got the note on that late in the show yesterday. You know, I figured there'd be like a big expo on him, and there is more information. But he, you know, was 94 years old, so it wasn't like it was a crazy surprise death or anything. But Clive Davis is one of those names. You might not even know what he does or who he discovered or who he, you know, he was like a, like an R&D guy. Like, is that what it is? Research or a talent acquisition guy. And he said over the years, his ear got better and better. He said, you know, sometimes people would just walk in and he'd see their aura. Like Janis Joplin walked in and he went, oh, she's a star. That was one of he kicked off his career with Janis Joplin.
I am very A&R, familiar with Clive Davis. I have no idea what R&D or what he did for any record.
I think I'm thinking of A&R.
Well, A&R is something that they've worked with us in terms of like radio stations and stuff. I've heard that term, but I don't know what he did. I know he's big in the music business. I know his party at the Grammys is the biggest, like everybody wants to be at that dude's party.
It's the night before the Grammys.
And our old boss used to, I haven't seen any posts from him, but he was a guy who knew Clive Davis.
He signed Janis Joplin to kickstart his career, made Bruce Springsteen and Whitney Houston household names, and they say he carried Carlos Santana and Aretha Franklin to newfound fame. There's a long, long list. Rod Stewart's on here. They say he revitalized the careers of Carlos Santana, Rod Stewart, and Aretha Franklin. He died yesterday at 94.
Weird thing is they attribute certain celebrity to him, and I think there wasn't going to be any stopping some of these stars.
I know.
Like, the voice of Whitney Houston is not something that he had anything to do with.
No, right.
But okay.
Mm. he was, let's see, most recently the chief creative officer for Sony Music, a former head of labels for Columbia, Arista, and J Records. He's a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He died at his home in Manhattan. He recently had been hospitalized with an upper respiratory infection. You know, as I was reading through this list of people through his 6-decade career, I see Pink Floyd on here, and I thought, is he the one who said, by the way, which one's Pink?
They have many classic lines, and that is among them for sure.
Welcome to the machine. Billy Joel, The Grateful Dead, Alicia Keys, Simon & Garfunkel, Jennifer Hudson, Barry Manilow, Pink Floyd, Earth, Wind & Fire, Aerosmith, Blood, Sweat & Tears, Kenny G, Christina Aguilera, Kelly Clarkson, Patti Smith, and many more.
Okay.
He does say here, talking about his ability to identify talent, Clive Davis, who passed at 94, told Playboy magazine in 2013, I didn't necessarily have an ear, but I think I developed one. Whether there was a natural ear that was triggered, I don't know the answer to that. But when you see a Joplin or a Springsteen, you know. And the statistics start mounting and give you confidence. You think, my God, yeah, I did say yes to Santana. Both his parents died within 10 months of each other when he was 18. He got a full scholarship after he moved in with his sister. And they died of random things. The mom had a cerebral hemorrhage. His dad suffered a heart attack. He moved in with his older sister, Sina, her husband and their daughter in Queens while he was attending NYU, where he got a full scholarship and later got another full scholarship to attend Harvard Law. So, and then
Davis, smart guy.
Right?
All right.
So there you go. Music mogul with the golden ear, they say, for talent, dies at 94. And now let's hop over to Crazy Town.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Britney Spears is...
Oh, wait a minute. She's all better.
Mm-hmm. Britney Spears claims that a thief stole half her wardrobe and half her money. And that led to her rebelling by showing herself as cheap on Instagram.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Britney Spears is alleging that a thief stole half her wardrobe and her money 3 years ago. Which, if I'm Britney Spears, I never shut up about any crazy stuff that's happening in my life. I feel like it's amazing. I'm just hearing about this now. She's 44 now. She recently made a kind of a shocking baby admission. She wants to have another one. Please, someone stop her. She took to her social media to post 17 images of herself in different outfits as she made the bombshell revelation that half her closet was stolen 3 years ago. She says, not a victim, just curious as to how many people were able to make me feel so cheap and crazy when my coats, jewelry, and half my wardrobe went missing 3 years ago.
Oh, she wasn't purposely making herself look cheap. She became cheap because she lost all her stuff.
Oh, I'm not sure what her motivations were.
I thought she was like trying to take an angle, like, oh, like, I look trashy cheap because, yeah, okay. 3 years ago is when she and that boyfriend / fiance of hers broke up.
That is true.
Sam, I think is
Sam Asghari. I wonder if he's the one who took half her clothes and half her money.
You got to wonder why he was hanging around.
I did look at all 17 pictures, and they are all her dressed in pretty bad stuff. Like, yeah. She picked out the bad stuff.
Yeah, the trashy stuff.
The trashy stuff.
She says, it's honestly strange. I don't perhaps miss the clothes. I will say, ever since that happened, I 100% rebelled on Instagram and showed myself as cheap and probably secretly angry. She's saying she put thought into how she looked.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, the dog poop on the floor all over your house does look like something's going on. I don't know if it's cheap that I'm thinking.
It seems trashy. And delightfully tacky.
I don't know, but okay, whatever you say.
Right?
Does she still have fans?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I mean, right?
No, well, I don't know. I know that all those fans that came out and helped get her removed from that... What was that thing called?
Conservatorship.
The conservatorship. Yeah. They are still following her and applauding her, all her... success, right?
Yes. As well they should, because they got her out of this thing and now here she is years later.
If you look at her Instagram, her posts only get between 60 and 120K likes. She's got 40 million followers, so I think less people are paying attention and following
or
her.
People are like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Stop it. You got to cut that out. Anyway, she's, still Britney the whole time. So, yay. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. TMZ is saying Taylor Swift has not sent Blake Lively a wedding invite.
You know what? I saw that headline and I thought, didn't we just decide that she's going? We just talked about
that for 10 minutes yesterday. Yep. There were two or three sources that were saying, oh, she's definitely got her ticket. She got her golden ticket to the wedding. They're saying in TMZ, and they're citing Page Six on here somewhere. I don't know. According to Page Six, this is on TMZ. According to Page Six, Lively hasn't been invited to Swift's upcoming wedding celebrations with Travis Kelce, despite recent speculation that the longtime friends were beginning to repair their relationship. Page Six says the relationship remained strained.
How could it not? That lady pulled her into her drama.
Yep.
There's Taylor Swift off on the side going, I'm rooting for you. And the next thing you know, she's in the middle of it.
She was subpoenaed in connection with the dispute before the subpoena was later withdrawn. Taylor was frustrated about being pulled into the legal fight, felt she'd been unnecessarily dragged into the controversy. The fallout created distance between them. And they're saying, TMZ is saying no. And also, over the weekend, Travis was out and about on the town, but it looked like Taylor and a bunch of her friends all went to her mansion in Rhode Island for their much quieter bachelor. I think I heard there were fireworks or whatever. But for the most part, they weren't seen like in the town or anything.
And at the bachelorette party, they had fireworks?
Yeah.
That was a couple weeks ago. That wasn't this weekend.
That wasn't
though.
This past weekend?
No.
Oh, okay. They didn't have fireworks. It was much quieter than what Travis was up to. And Blake was not there. So.
Did you have a bachelorette party?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. I think I've told you about it. We went to a male strip club. And I had to, you know,
I remember the story being John was so wasted.
John wound up oil wrestling some bimbo.
But who's drink, or was it someone else that drank his drink?
Yeah, his brother drank all his shots. So John
would be okay.
So that John would be okay. In my wedding photos, his brother Paul is green. And got into a fist fight with his other brother-in-law out in the front yard of the house. I mean, it was a crazy night. My night, not as crazy, although I did get a lap dance from a dude and all his junk.
And you liked it?
I could have lived without it.
Oh, did they force it on you? Were they like?
Yes. They put a chair on the stage and said, and now the bride-to-be will join us on the stage. And I looked, and my girlfriends are all like, yay, off you go. I'm like, okay.
And how does that go? Is he like, you know, do you want the special treatment backstage or do you just want me to?
No, he just did a dance around me. And his junk was everywhere.
I don't know how that stuff works. I really don't. I didn't even have one at all.
Oh, you didn't have a?
Nothing.
Oh, your bros didn't take out for dinner or something? And
oh, well, maybe.
Don't do some fun thing?
There's nothing that you could say was a bachelor party at all.
And probably for the best.
I have zero memory of anything besides maybe a meal.
Mm.
So they might be hearing this and going, what the?
Yeah.
We went out to eat.
We went crazy.
No,
and you don't remember any of it.
There's no crazy.
Mm. All right. Let's eat a few headlines here. You can just swallow the headline or we could chew on it for a minute. There's a couple interesting things in here. Jaws is doing a special screening in the water in Martha's Vineyard where they shot it.
I love it.
Yeah. Moviegoers will get to float where Spielberg's horror classic was originally filmed in 1974.
Can I give you a fast fact?
Of course.
When John Williams first played the two-note Jaws theme for Steven Spielberg, he laughed. He thought John Williams was joking. And expected something more melodic and was like, very funny, John. And John replied, the sophisticated approach you would like me to take isn't the approach you took with the film I just watched.
Oh, it wasn't
very
sophisticated.
Nope.
So he watched the film and this was his inspiration. It's so perfect.
It is perfect. But that's funny that like... Spielberg's all, ha, ha, ha.
That's a deer hilarious.
And John went, no, that's it.
No, this is it.
And it's forever like a pop culture nightmare.
Yeah. You know, so this was like his first major motion picture, Spielberg's, right? Mm-hmm. Like a major.
Well, I think so.
And, or it was among the first,
well,
anyway.
It was like the thing that kicked off the summer blockbuster, that's for sure.
Yes. They do credit it with that. Mm-hmm. I wonder what John Williams' status was at the time. I mean, now he is the guy who's done the soundtracks for all of the incredible pictures that
I would say
Spielberg has done.
While his status went on to, he added to it with mm-hmm. other films. I would say a guy who's the top, you know, soundtrack, who's being called in for everything. He was probably already a huge star.
Yeah. John Williams was maybe...
Would have to be.
I don't know. Well, that's what I was thinking.
I'm looking at his...
They did it as on a budget, and was he affordable?
He was not... His first movie, according to his IMDb, is 1975 Jaws.
Oh.
No, it's Daddy-O, 1959.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I Daddy-O? Would think that he was a composer of great accomplishment long before
he got
films. That's
right.
What I'm trying to say. Like,
oh, yeah.
People who knew new. And like, that's a thing that's really interesting about Oingo Boingo. What's his name?
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman is that you, we knew, I knew him as the lead singer of the new wave band Oingo Boingo. I don't know who had heard him compose and decided to start having him do film
work. And then all of a sudden he's the guy, he's that mastermind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff in the 60s. A couple you might have heard of, The Towering Inferno.
Oh, yeah.
Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, yeah. So he was well established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's done every movie except, I think it says except five with Spielberg.
Yeah, he's got some of the most memorable
his first
musical
was
motifs.
74, The Sugarland Express, and then he just started doing all of them.
Well, Jaws is doing a special screening. You can watch it in the water. Which seems like a great idea. Ricky Gervais has a new show. It's called Alley Cats. It's a Netflix show. And here's the actual headline. Ricky Gervais's Alley Cats Netflix trailer. And you thought Heathcliff terrified the neighborhood. Nine lives, zero Fs. So there's that. It actually is charming and yet acerbic. Making social commentary. Here's your next one. Keanu Reeves to star in live-action Lego hybrid movie coming from the Toy Story director, Josh Cooley. Toy Story 4, that guy did.
I saw all the usual names that you see, though, in the Toy Story credits as I listened to Taylor Swift, which I stayed for. Because
you love that song?
No, because no one would leave. I was with people and they just didn't
get up.
And I kept going, okay, I'll wait. But anyway, all the usual Pixar directors, producers, the ones you expect to see.
Recognizable names.
They're there.
I only have to assume that John Ratzenberger is in this.
He is not. Wait.
Doesn't he play the one that's like a dog or something? Isn't he a...
He's not the dog. You're right. He is a, I thought he was the pig.
Is he Ham the pig?
But either way,
he plays Ham.
Okay yeah. Right. He's probably in there. And I know that's like one of their things that they always get that guy's voice in there somehow, which is cool. But he doesn't stand out. He's not a lead character.
Next headline. Netflix cooks up another Hot Ones spinoff. Hot Ones is a guy by the name of Sean Evans who would he'd sit down with gradually hotter hot sauces and wings and eat them with celebrities and ask questions while they were suffering. And it has spun off to Hot Ones Versus, Hot Ones Wing Pong. And now they're doing, Netflix has ordered Hot Ones Extra Heat.
Does anybody know where that guy came out of?
I don't.
Maddie, you're a podcast guy. Like, where did that guy...
Did he just have an idea?
Was he a radio guy? And then he realized he needed not just to do interviews. There had to be a hook, which is, of course, the hot chicken.
Mm-hmm. He did. He was a freelance interviewer for Complex magazine.
Oh.
And then Complex started doing a lot of multimedia stuff.
And he came out of that. Good for him.
So I think this actually lands pretty soon, too. Yeah, it's going to launch after Netflix's live stream of the Home Run Derby on July 13th. And it looks like it's Will Ferrell is going to be on it, promoting some new series he's got coming up. But they're saying each episode will be 30 minutes and we'll see Sean Evans interviewing celebrities at settings that are inspired by major tentpole moments on Netflix, like live sporting events, film and series launches, etc. So if you love Hot Ones, there's yet another one for you. And I'm out of time. What's coming up?
Your brain. After these. All right.
Wake up with Sarah and Vinny.
They're great. They're awesome every morning.
Every morning on Alice 97.3.
Yeah. Alice 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Arr, arr, arr. Hello and welcome. It's a generational showdown. Gen X versus Zillennials. Don't miss Bridge the Gap tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. This week, Zillennial Emily from SF takes on Alice's team surgeon, Deepak, for Gen X.
I have avoided him. There has been no contact, just so you all know.
I trust you.
Okay. Of course. You should.
Yeah.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by ATCO Pest Control. Mosquitoes can make it difficult to enjoy your yard. ATCO Pest Control helps bring mosquito activity under control. Mm. Go to atcopest.com. Mention you heard about ATCO on Sarah and Vinny and get 10% off mosquito services this month. That's atcopest.com. As we broadcast live from downtown San Francisco, it is overcast here and likely where you are too. If not, good for you. There will be sunshine today in most places. Sunny and low, highs in the low 80s.
Oh.
So another summer day.
Such as they are.
That's what you want. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Yep.
Bring the good weather. Today is Amazon Prime Day.
Is it?
For those of you who are, you know, hold off on making any big purchases until everything is slashed down to the
lowest possible price.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an Amazon guy, so I don't.
Yeah.
But now you know, Prime Day. Also, the NBA draft starts tonight at 5. It's not nearly as important as the NFL draft, but I still think that there are people who follow this stuff like religion.
Right. There's definitely... Right, it doesn't get nearly the press.
I'm sure the guys down the hall, though, could tell you a guy's size and weight.
Yes. Oh, he's quite a specimen.
Oh, are you kidding? You
see the buns of steel on that guy.
The hands on that guy.
The reach. Wingspan.
Yeah, all the stuff. Mm-hmm.
All of it. All the stats.
This has become a running theme in, I believe, a lot of people's lives. And I think that there's a lot of debate about how much news should you consume. If you're not getting any, then what are you, just checked out? You must not have any horses in any race if you're not up on everything. That's not really necessarily true, but I understand what you're trying to say. Like, there's a lot of stuff, you know, up in the air in the world. You must be fine if you're not interested or saving yourself so you can sleep at night.
Yeah.
You ever feel like you're maxed out on news?
Yes.
Because the majority of it is not good. There's a reason. True. Our brains weren't built to be burdened by doom scrolling or Fox News or CNN 24/7. A new study notes that humans evolved to pay close attention to danger, mostly clear and present threats. That is how you're to keep you alive. Yeah, I think
existential threats.
Everything on the planet tries to live.
Yes.
You know,
it's in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything, a bug, you get near it, it'll go, whoa, I got to get out of here.
Right.
They run for their life.
They do. That's an interesting take on this. It bears thought. Like, that's, you know, it's not good for us to be. Well, and there are people who are just so hyper-focused, especially on politics. Well, that it's like, please find another hobby.
Well, I think that in reality, there are people who feel it's important, but I also think there are people who've lost control of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a reality. In our lives today, the instinct is being overwhelmed by an endless supply of bad news from around the world. So our brains are meant to keep us safe. But in this situation, overwhelming it with bad news is not doing your brain any good.
Well, it just makes you feel like everything is doom and gloom.
This is a global struggle. Mm. So while it feels uniquely American, that's not the case. A lot of people are caught doom scrolling on a regular basis and find themselves having difficulty peeling off. And at night might be the worst possible time from your bed to pick up your phone and take a look, because good luck sleeping.
Yeah.
And now if you can, that's great.
Well, guess what you're going to dream about? Doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm. 40% of people worldwide say they at least sometimes or often avoid the news in an effort to... Yeah.
I will actually take a break. Well, you and I read all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I get alerts from 50 different papers and click. I'm constantly clicking on some story. And so I try to give myself at least 2 hours a day where I don't even have my phone on me. And I, during the weekend, I let my emails build up. And then I'll just on Sunday night, I'll go through them all. And then on vacation, I get way behind. But I figure, you know, I'll catch up.
If the news overwhelms you, let me repeat this point. 40% of people worldwide say they at least sometimes or often avoid the news. In the U.S., it's 42%. It's over 60% of people in Bulgaria, Turkey, Croatia, and Greece avoid the news in order to control the negativity.
It's like finding out something that you can't affect change on. It's like worrying about something that isn't having necessarily a direct effect on your life at the cost of caring about the things that are around you. Like, it's just this underlying kind of pool of negativity that you're just, get out of the pool.
Well, I think that you're touching on something where people will say, well, what a luxury that you don't have to know, you know,
You don't have to either.
But that's the thing. If there was something that I could do to cause change, I'd get in line with you.
Right.
And we'd get that done. And if it's about just reading and voting, that I already do. Mm. But in terms of just losing sleep last night over something that I can't do anything about,
right,
it isn't, the value isn't there.
Mm-mm.
So that is
and
where we're at.
And you have the right to live your life, you know, with your own plot details in mind. Like, you can cut that out of your life and still lead a perfectly full life. You're not going to know what anyone's talking about at the party where everyone starts talking about politics. But that's fine. Just get up and walk away.
You know, the time, it's a generation previous to us, actually, that got home from work and clicked on the news. And they watched an hour of news before dinner or during dinner. But that was the time when people got caught up on stuff. And then they were done.
Yep. That was it. Or they would read the paper, you know, whatever the headlines are, however far into the paper they could get. It's not like everybody read it cover to cover.
But also the news used to be much more reasonable.
Well, it used to be fact.
Yes.
It was, here are the facts as we know them. There was no editorialization. Not in the news story itself. I mean, there are whole channels that call themselves news that are opinion and conspiracies. You can't believe anything these days. So it's like, why are we reading everything when it's half of it is absolutely skewed to propagandize things that are happening around the world to fit either piss you off or to fit your worldview?
Here's another statement from the study. And we know this. To be fact, a study points out that decades of research shows that our human minds weigh negative information more heavily than positive.
Absolutely.
We're drawn to it faster and we remember it longer.
Mm.
So that person, it's never happened here, but that writes the radio station and says, you guys suck.
Yep. There's 1,000 texts
that say, I love you and I want to marry you.
Mm.
And you're the most great looking radio station I've ever seen in the history
of radio stations.
But the one guy or girl that writes,
said was stupid.
I'm changing my station. Right. What?
That's the one.
What we focus on. And that is what's happening in the news as well.
Yep.
It's like part of our brain to hyper focus on the negative.
Mm.
So what do? Trying to block it all out probably won't work. News will find its way to us in one way or another, but I believe trying to control the amount of negativity you consume is the goal. So whether it's putting your phone away or turning, I know that no one's going to turn their phone off. We just don't.
No, I don't turn it off. I just stick it on the charger.
We'll get away from it. But the idea that you just go, no, this is just going to be off. I don't think anyone really
does
that.
You know why? Because I'm going to need it at some point. Mm-hmm. Oh, I gotta, you know, pay a bill at the bank. So now I got to turn the whole thing. I got to wait for it to come back on. It just doesn't work. You know, I got to check my messages as I walk by.
My friend has been talking for years about how she wants a kind of smartphone. One where you could still go on a browser and use the internet, but there's only a few apps that you can download, like Uber, for example.
Or, right. The things you need to live your life banking. These days.
Yeah. But not, you can't have any social media on it.
Oh.
Well, she could delete those.
But that's
but will
different.
She? Right. It's better if they're not allowed.
We want someone to tell us
yes,
no.
We need someone else to put the controls on it.
They say in the story I'm reading now, again, your brain was never designed for this much bad news. That's what the story is about.
Very interesting.
And they say the key is to manage consumption and sources. So it comes down to you controlling how much you let in.
Yeah.
It means you should try to keep the news to designated buckets of time as much as possible. Stick to accurate, trustworthy sources.
Yeah, your friend's friend on Facebook is not an accurate source.
Right. So anyway, I do think this is important to remind us that ultimately we're in charge of what we let in. And if it's causing you
worry
any kind
and sleepless
of
nights.
Yeah, like if it can cause crisis. Mm-hmm. And I've seen those posts where people are saying it feels like they're on the end of a breakdown. And you just go, oh my gosh, I want to just pull you off of Facebook and show you a flower.
Yeah, go take a walk in the woods.
Next story.
Okay, that's a good story.
I like it as well.
Yeah.
Thousands of international soccer fans have been coming to America for the World Cup. You know, it's here if you haven't heard.
Yeah.
And now people are joking about going out on the town and gaining the FIFA 15.
Oh goodness.
America.
F yeah.
Is fluffing everyone up.
Well, our plates are huge and the food is ample.
There's one thing America has no shortage of, and it's delicious calories.
Mm.
And there are videos on social media of foreigners going wild for ranch, fast food, Donkeys, Raising Cane's, Chipotle, Taco Bell, barbecue, steak, clam chowder, pizza,
good stuff.
Deli sandwiches. It's all here. Yeah. The melting pot. They got it all.
You name it, we got it.
People are also plotting.
The FIFA 15 is actually really funny.
Well,
I haven't heard that since the freshman 15.
That's exactly what I was going to point out. Like, there's times in your life and the first year of college, people talk about that.
Right. When suddenly your mom's not in control of what you eat anymore.
Right. And the hours when you eat is no longer managed in any kind of way.
They say they're closing the door of the bar. We got to get out. Oh, look, there's a pizza place next door. $3 for a whole pizza? All right.
Anyway, people are plotting how they're going to take some of their new discoveries home with them and how they're going to get the weight off them.
Mm.
But they want to bring ranch and barbecue sauces along with other snacks and packaged foods and even booze.
Oh.
Back to wherever they came from.
Huh.
That's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun to travel and then find yourself in a place where you're trying something you haven't and you've heard about, and you get there and you...
Well, even Americans, when you go on the road and you road trip, you are subject to what is available near the highway.
Right.
Like, and and whenever you travel, like, let's say you land in any country, you're not, generally speaking, you're not going grocery shopping and cooking meals at your house. You go out every meal. And everyone knows that restaurant food, forget fast food, restaurant food, it's richer. It's
more buttery.
It's butter.
And saltier.
Yes.
Hello.
Like, that's just the way it is. They'll be fine. They'll lose those 15 as soon as they get back to their normal routines.
The FIFA 15 is real, though, everyone. And
bring extra clothes, some in bigger sizes. Just enjoy yourself.
You know,
America is so fun.
I was talking to Christina, and she was saying, you know, what should we do next year with the kids for, like, a vacation? And I just always sort of default to, well, we always have fun at Disneyland, you know, that's kind of an easy. But we want to finally start traveling. Like, I haven't seen anywhere.
Right.
At all.
Your kids are at a good age.
And they're at an age where it's like, okay, well, where can we, where's the starter trip?
Right.
Like we have a friend who took their kids to Japan and they went, Japan's not built for hyperactive little kids. Like that's a very respectful society that does not speak any English.
Right.
And they don't want your kids running around like crazy.
I think my kids were 11 and 13 when we went there. And that was a good age. But it was a border. It was on the border because my younger son was like, I don't want to see any more shrines. I don't want to go to any more graveyards. I don't want to ride bikes through the bamboo forest again. Like he was just done with it. He was over it.
So where did we land after discussing all the things? Because everything that comes up, she goes, well, Portugal, I go, well, we're surfing if we go to Portugal. So are you prepared for it to be a surf trip?
You landed on France.
We landed on England.
Oh,
and then
what
a
fun
day in France. But the thing was, is
you take the channel.
She's well traveled, I should say. So yeah. She was like, the food is close to what we get here
in England.
Yeah. They like have places where we could eat where the kids won't be like, what?
Right. It's not, there's no mystery food.
So it's like
England sounds great.
It's like a dip and a toe in.
Yeah.
She's like, well, they speak English.
Yep.
We'll find out if the kids can manage themselves, you know, on a week long trip with no kid stuff.
Yeah, it isn't. There's no kid stuff really.
I don't know. Is it too soon?
No. I actually feel like England is a great choice. Ireland would be a good choice too, and you're Irish. That was fun for us as, you know, a bunch of Irish people.
My kid goes, Do I like pasta because I'm Italian? I'm all, well, I mean,
sure. Let's go with that.
Pretty sure everyone
because
likes
you love
it.
Pasta.
I think everyone likes it.
Nobody else likes it.
But you know. Anyway, our text number is 800-400-3697.
That's
and
exciting.
And Maddie's on the show. I don't know, you know, it was just one of those, as we were talking about travel, I was reminded and thought, we had this conversation and England seems to be the starter vacation.
It's a great idea.
408, I feel like I'm the only person in the world who is not on social media sometimes, and I think I am better off for it. Everyone finds out constantly is offering to open up accounts for me. No thank you. And from San Jose.
You know what?
She sounds like she's completely off of it.
I know a grown-up. Emily McCutcheon, she's not on there. And it's one of the most interesting. She doesn't ever pull her phone out to get a picture so she can put, she never is caught up in that at all. Mm. It's a really neat thing. And I know that she's a school teacher, so maybe that's part of the reason.
Maybe, yeah.
But she's not on there. Nowhere.
Yeah.
There's a few people out there who, especially people our age, I feel like they might have dabbled, they looked at it, but then they just, you know, they don't find any value in it. Kids live on there. Like that, I think it's hard for kids.
I like it, but I just told you, like, I am embarrassed to take a selfie at the beach when this is the only time I'm going to remember to post in the first place.
Right.
But I'm like, and throw the phone back in the car, post it when no one's looking. And hope I got a good photo.
Mm.
It's embarrassing. What am I doing? Standing here by myself taking pictures.
Don't worry, no one's looking at you. They're all looking at their phones.
Well, good. Yeah. Thank goodness.
That's right. 408, London is a great place for a first trip. That is how we started ours. They were 7 and 9.
Mm.
Oh.
Thank you.
Let's see. Some more suggestions for you. 650, Denmark is the perfect place for a family. Lots of family fun. Good food. Tivoli.
Okay.
Two birds with one stone from the 925. Disneyland Paris.
I thought that as well, and it's on the possibilities list. Mm.
707, I'd like to see more of America. And it's good to get out. You go and travel the United States, and what you find out is everybody's the same. Like, I mean, we're all like people, and like, yeah. I think it's so good to go to the South and like talk to people that maybe they don't agree with you politically, but
don't bring up politics.
Yeah, they're nice people, though. Let's see here. Bob's friend is describing the early-gen smartphones when the number of available apps were really slim. So tell her to get an old iPhone. None of the apps will work on it.
Yeah, the apps won't work.
Yeah. Oh, but she does want some apps.
Right.
Well, right, she needs
to. You got to have Uber.
You gotta have
and
Uber.
You gotta have DoorDash. I mean, what am I gonna go out and get my own food? F that.
You're right, Ben. You're absolutely
banking.
Right.
Why waste the gas? I need my Google Docs.
The time.
I do stuff on there.
415. All you guys and gals are pretty and brave. Nevada Norm, watching on YouTube.
Oh, thanks. We'll forget about that text soon. Send one where you hate us. That'll be the one we remember forever.
209. Vinny, take the kids to the Harry Potter Interactive Museum in the UK. They will love it.
Yeah,
oh,
I agree.
That's great.
510. Italians open their hearts to you when you travel with children. Love talking to elementary school kids, and they had fun in Italy.
That's on our list for sure because we're Italian.
Yeah.
Like that, I had told my kids had asked me, you know, when did we? And I said, I believe my mom's grandpa was the first person in our family
to immigrate to
come to America in New York. And then they asked Nona, and Nona goes, my grandpa was the first. And I, hey, finally something trickled down.
Right.
And because so many things don't.
Right.
Like if you don't ask your parents anything, they're likely too busy to tell you anything. And you may not get that info about your family or their upbringing.
Until you're old enough to realize, oh no, we've lost a treasure trove of information about the olden times.
Uh-huh.
And our own family history.
650. Vin, I agree with Sarah. Go to Ireland. I'm married to an Irish person. They love kids there. Lots to do. Hikes in particular. Smaller version of England. You can visit Ireland and London.
I'm into it. What's coming up in the trash,
Sarah?
Well,
you're going to start traveling, so this is great. Coming up, Savannah, Olivia, and the Lilith Fair.
Hey, Bay Area, good morning.
Coffee, please.
Wake up with Sarah and Vinny.
This is amazing!
Every morning on Alice.
97.3.